Awesome. Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Why don't we just stand? We're just going to start right with worship this morning and sing of God's faithfulness. So I invite you to stand as we sing.
Your faithfulness, your faithfulness through the years, you've always been there. Great is your love for us, your love for us through the years, you've always been there. Let's try to sing that again. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness through the years, you've always been there. Great is your love for us, your love for us through the years, you've always been there. is your faithfulness. Great's your faithfulness. Oh God, my Father. Oh God, my friends. Your love, it never fades. And so I'll love you until the end. When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age, you never change. And great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness through the years, you've always been there. And great is your love for us. Your love for us through the years, you've always been there. So great's your kindness, God. You are our shelter, our dwelling place, your presence like a fire. Hope for tomorrow, strength for today. When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age, you never change. And great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness through the years, your faithfulness. Your faithfulness through the years, you've always been there. And great is your love for us. Your love for us through the years, you've always been there. When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age, you never change.
Let's sing that again.
When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age, you never change. And great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness through the years, you've always been. Your love for us, your love for us through the years, you've always been there. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness through the years, you've always been there. And great is your love for us. Your love for us through the years, you've always been there.
You were the Word at the beginning. One with God, the Lord. One.
God, you're worthy. You're worthy of our praise this morning, God. God, we love you. We love to worship you, God. Thank you, God, that you're faithful, that you're beside us through the thick and thin, through the hard times and the good, God, that you are right beside us. And Father, we just pray that you, we open our hearts to you this morning, God. We are excited for how you're going to move with each one of us this morning. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe seated. And we are going to dismiss our kids. Also, if you're new, feel free to reach out to either me or John. John's will be up here in a bit, and we would love to just like connect with you, get to know you and all that stuff. But we're just so happy to have you here. And we're going to dismiss our kids. So what that means is we have a program downstairs for our kids that are up to grade 5, okay? So the kids up to grade 5 are going downstairs. Oh, and one of you two, we have Chuck the Duck up here, who is our typical youth mascot, and maybe you guys can take Chuck the Duck with you into the portable. So if you're in grade 6, all the way up into high school, we have a youth program today that is out in our portable. So if you are in grade 6 and up, you can go out to the portable with Chuck the Duck and hang out. We got a program out there, I think, working through Exodus today, which should be pretty cool. So we are actually just going to invite John up, and here you go.
Okay. Good morning. So far, it's good morning. For some of us, we weren't so sure when we saw the ice out there. The challenge with the low part of the ground is that's where all the slush kind of accumulates. So it was a little rough out there. Before we jump into the message today, actually, we have some good news today. Rhoda came in and told me that there's a new grandson in her family. So congratulations. Joshua is his name. So do you have pictures? Like, do you have a phone filled with pictures yet, Rhoda? Do you have pictures on your cell phone or anything yet? You have some? Okay. So you can talk to her after if you want to see some pictures. Awesome. Awesome. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to jump in. Because some of what we're going to talk about today might be a little bit heavy. Hopefully it'll get to a good, helpful place, but I just want to just give you an awareness of that. Let's pray. God, we thank you for in a world where there's so many heavy and difficult things, that we also do have glimpses of life and light, of things that have been broken coming back together, of new life, of healing happening, and where there's pain that doesn't end on this side of eternity, we thank you that our hope is certain that the struggles on this side of things are not the end of the story. God, I ask that as we talk through the reality of things of us not always getting along, and consider a story today that considers where you are in the midst of the conflict, I ask that you would help us to be open to seeing you more clearly and learning to live and love like you. God, thanks for our time this morning. I especially want to pray for the kids that have gone downstairs and their leaders, and the youth that have gone out to the portable and their leaders. God, may they know that they're there because we like something that's especially helpful for them, not because they are not full part of who we are. Bless them richly and help them to grow more and more aware of your love for them through the time they have. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was thinking this week while I was preparing for this on how amazing it is that everyone everywhere agrees on everything. Isn't that awesome? How we look around everywhere and there's unity and harmony everywhere in the world. There's no conversations that are taboo, no? Oh man, especially online. Everyone's always so encouraging and positive and reaffirming. No, obviously I'm speaking tongue in cheek. There are a lot of disagreements in the world we live in. Many of them are relatively benign. Should I mention some of them? Some things that maybe we disagree on, like, I'll ask. Leafs or Habs? Or Senators? Or Penguins? I don't know. Benign things. There's some of you may be aware, there's a big football game happening tonight. Are you cheering for the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles? And some of you are like, what? Who? Big question. Pineapple on pizza? Yes or no? It's amazing how fired up we get with some of that. What are some other things like this that we disagree on? Feel free. Black or double-double, or I go back and say, no, T actually is the correct answer. Ford or Chevy, okay. Apple, yeah, what kind of?
Raisins or no raisins.
Raisins or no raisins, oh, that's an important one. And the answer is, as long as there's a butter tart. There are other things, so those are some of the benign things, but there are some other things that we disagree on that tend to become a lot bigger fights. Okay, do you like our current governments, provincial and federal, or not?
No.
I'm not asking for answers on these, just to be clear. Things that we disagree on that are pretty serious disagreements are someone in favor of COVID-19 vaccinations or against them? Should we be welcoming more refugees to Canada or not? And if we should, are there places we shouldn't be welcoming them from and places we should? Uncomfortable yet? Let's name some things. Let's just be really honest. What are some things like this that are serious things that we actually fight about sometimes?
How things fly over our country.
Yeah? How do we respond to things like the balloon that was shot down recently?
Right to their arms.
Yeah, like what do we do with weapons and guns and how to control them? Right to life questions. Pardon me?
Short-term rental and tiny,
yeah. Yeah, these are some things that people get very passionate about and fight about. But if we're really honest, we've talked about kind of things that are out there. There's stuff in churches that we fight about. Sometimes we try not to bring it up because we're worried about what people will say, but some things are around preferences. Lots of people there's conflict that gets created around the music we sing and the way we sing it. You know, is it in line with my preferences? Churches have had serious fights over that. Do the decorations align with my style and ideals? When I say decorations, I mean like churches have split over like what color the carpet should be. But there's other things. There's theological conflicts, you know, about how we read the Bible. There's questions about how authority should be structured and function within churches. And conversations about those things can quickly degrade into fighting. There's moral conflicts within the church. You know, one of the big ones right now is should churches and denominations be held accountable for abuses that have happened within those churches? And if they should, how? Should churches and denominations affirm same-sex marriage? There are currently many churches and denominations in deep conflict over this question. Dare I ask, are you willing to name some other things that those of us that are in the church have been known to fight about?
Divorce.
Yeah?
Expand or stay small.
Yeah, just ways to think about size of church and mission. It's harder to say some things out loud. Should women be in leadership or not? Yeah. Churches are fighting over that. Pardon me?
We know which is right.
I want us to think about these things, and even if you haven't said them out loud, I want you to think about some of these things that you're passionate about, that you would be ready to fight about. Because we're digging into a piece of scripture that's on the edge of a fight. We've been working through divine encounters, and I want you to bring that feeling of readiness to fight into our reading of this divine encounter. We're digging in today into a very short, kind of oddly placed encounter with God that Joshua had. Before we read the short passage of scripture, let me just set the scene for you. Moses, who we talked about last week, came and led the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt. It was really the first time they were more than just a smallish family. They had become this nation of people. And he led them out of slavery to the edge of Canaan. Now remember, these Hebrew people, they are descendants of Abraham, who we talked about a number of weeks ago. Abraham was one that God had called, he had explicitly chosen. He had promised Abraham that there was going to be this huge family that came from him. That was this Hebrew people. But he'd also promised Abraham that they would be richly blessed and that they would inherit this land called Canaan. So when Moses brought them out, took them to the edge of this land, and they saw a bunch of very large people with very big cities, with big walls around them in that land already, decided, you know, maybe God wasn't right and we should not try and go there. And so they ended up being led around the wilderness for 40 years. An interesting interaction that happened with God during that 40 years, because God provided food and water, and their clothes and shoes didn't wear out. God provided for them the whole way. But during that time, a generation, the generation that had been afraid to go into the land, they passed away. And so after 40 years, on the edge of Canaan again, Moses passes the leadership on of this group of people to a guy named Joshua. Joshua was one of the oldest among his people. He had been there 40 years before. He'd been one of the few voices saying, no, we can go into this land because God's promised it to us. Joshua is now one of the oldest among the people. He had been mentored under Moses for decades at this point. He had had unique times of connection with God. And in recent days, before this encounter, Joshua had taken charge of leading the people. Joshua had sent a spy mission into Jericho, the first large and imposing city in the land on the other side of the river called Jordan. When they came back, he led his people to cross through the Jordan River in this like miraculous thing where this raging river is going by. They step into it, it dries up, they go across safely. And now Joshua has the people he's leading camped just outside of Jericho, waiting for the inevitable conflict between the people God has promised this land and the people who are already there. This was a clear us versus them conflict. You know, God had made promises to these people that this was going to be their land. And because of those promises, God was clearly on their side. They were certain in this conflict of us versus them, the Hebrew people versus the people who are already here, that they were right in this conflict because God had promised them this land. As they wait outside the walls, the tension is growing. The people in Jericho know Israel's coming, know the Hebrew people are coming. They know spies have been there. We're going to look at something in that context next week, actually. And in this situation, Joshua is facing like the greatest kind of test of his leadership so far. And he needed God on his side. So he goes for a walk. Perhaps, it doesn't say why he was out there, perhaps to collect his thoughts, perhaps to pray, perhaps he was just getting the lay of the land and putting a plan together. But he's outside the walls of Jericho, and we actually read this brief encounter with God starting at verse 13 of chapter 5 in Joshua. You can turn to it, or you can just follow along on the screen. It says, when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, are you friend or foe? Neither one, he replied. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. I am at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did as he was told. And that kind of ends the story. When you begin the next chapter, it jumps into preparation for conflict and battle. It kind of just has this weird thing in the middle of their progression where Joshua meets with this messenger from God. And I just want to highlight some of the things that we see in this that might be helpful for us to think about as we think about the conflicts we face. The first thing is that we see Joshua asking the obvious question. Are you for us or for our enemies? Are you on my side or are you on their side? Sometimes we do this with each other, right? Well, one of these conflicts comes up that we're passionate about, and we'll just float little things out there because we want to figure out, are they on my side or are they with those other people? So we know if it's safe to talk about or not. Joshua's a little bit more direct. Are you for us or for them? For us or for your enemies? Now, Joshua doesn't realize this is a messenger from God at this point. But even with God, we presume God takes sides like we do. And we want God on our side. We want that backup and support. We want to know that God supports our perspective. When we're especially spiritual, we don't word it that way. We say that we support God's perspective, but more often than not, it's God supports our perspective. And we don't necessarily just want God on our side. We often presume God is on our side. We presume that because, you know, we've learned what we believe in church, or we can quote some Bible verses to support it, or because it's the perspective of most of the Christians we know, that our side of the conflict is the side that God is on. And that gives us a real sense of power in a conflict. You know, we got a sense of authority when we can argue that God's on our side. It's not just a perspective, this is God's way. And I would add, when we bring that to a conflict, that idea of are you on our side or on our enemy's side, it helps us to put the other person in a nice little box that we don't have to engage them as an actual person. Right? They're the enemy. You know, if I have a conflict with Brad, and I'm just picking on Brad because you're there, I don't want to talk with Brad. I want to, like, paint him as the other. He's the enemy, and then I don't actually have to deal with a person. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're just one of them. It's not a person with the same needs and wants and struggles that I have. They're them. They're the enemy. They're a label. And if we can engage that label, God's on our side, he's not on their side, they're just the label, we dehumanize each other and we feel we have all this power. And Joshua has this sense of, I am the leader of the people of God. Are you with us or are you with our enemy? And he gets responded to the last thing we want to hear. Well, second last thing we want to hear. The last thing we want to hear is that God's on the other side. The second last thing, and perhaps the more confusing thing, is neither, the messenger said. But as the commander of the Lord's army, I have now come. Here at this moment of this divine encounter, when Joshua, who has more reason to be certain that God was on his side than anybody in most conflicts today, he's here faced with the messenger from God. Okay, which side are you on? And the messenger of God is like, nope, neither. We're presented with a God who isn't taking sides. God, just that profound thing, because our world is so focused, and I say our world, I'm not just talking about there, I'm talking in here as well. We're so focused on side-taking so often that it's hard for us to comprehend a God who's like, that's not the game I play. I'm not into picking that or that. I'm above all of this and all of these things that you're fighting about. While they might be important, they aren't me. And I'm bigger than them. Once Joshua realizes, wait, this is a messenger from God, he rightly steps back and falls with his face to the ground. An encounter with a God who doesn't take sides drives him to humility. He says, what's your message? Like, what do you want to say? What should I do? And the message is, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. At this point, he doesn't give him a battle plan. He doesn't give him more defenses that support his perspective. He doesn't say things bad about the other guys. It's like, just take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. If we're focused on the holiness of the place and the encounter, it shifts. Joshua moves from being a warlord to being a worshiper. Somebody who's focused on the conflict to being someone who's just focused on being there with God. The whole engagement changes. And then it ends. Joshua did as he was told, and that encounter is over. And Joshua puts his sandals back on. And then the next steps Joshua takes look very different. The next section of scripture from Jericho right through, you know, a bunch of pages are truthfully pretty hard for some of us who say, you know, Jesus and his love is the way to understand how God works. Because the next section of scripture, the people of God end up conquering towns. Language of genocide and slaughter is used to describe what happens. There's language of divine warfare with God on the side of the Hebrew people. How do we make sense of that with a commander of the Lord's army saying, I'm not on either side. The place where you're standing is holy, so stay here and worship. I could get into lots of ways to wrestle with that. And there are lots of questions about how to wrestle with that. What I would say is when God shows up in the person of Jesus, he doesn't show up taking sides. He doesn't show up leading an army, despite the fact that they wanted him to. He shows up going to the cross. What's interesting, I encourage you to do this. Read through the Old Testament. And up until Joshua 6, and even in Joshua 6, so let me back up. Up until Joshua 6, you don't find God talking about a military conquest of Canaan at all. Until Joshua is there with an army ready to invade, God doesn't talk about a military conquest. He promises that the land is going to be given to them. He doesn't say he's going to do it by leading an army in. Once Joshua is there with an army in hand, because they couldn't think of any other way that God could give them the land, then God's like, okay, I guess this is the way you're doing it. And there's a very real possibility, I think, that God is meeting them where they are, working with them in a way that doesn't reflect the true heart of God, because they aren't in a place where they're ready to see the true heart of God yet. We see that displayed in the person of Jesus on the cross, who doesn't fight back, who actually, when the sword got brought out in the garden, heals the quote-unquote enemy. We see, without getting into it too deeply, we see God doing this type of thing pretty regularly in Scripture. An example would be when Israel wants a king, and God says, nope, you don't want a king. King's not the way you should go. People say, no, we really want a king. And so not only does God give them a king, he actually uses the king to try and help them live well. Even though that wasn't what God wanted, he met them in the place where they were and worked with it, leading them forward. Until they see in Jesus, again, in Jesus, we see a different kind of king. This strange encounter with God in Joshua stands in stark contrast to what we see after and what was presumed before. In this encounter, we see a God who isn't interested in taking sides, but rather calling us to worship and move beyond the conflicts we have. When we see in Jesus on the cross, that movement is ultimately towards love, even, in the words of Jesus, love of our enemies. Now, this doesn't mean we don't have perspectives that we believe, like convictions that we believe are in line with the heart of God. It doesn't mean we don't have strong beliefs. But encountering God should change how we engage with others who may not be on the same page as we are. When God shows up, we realize there's something bigger than these fights that we have. I think in love, we're called to hold our convictions. Yes, convictions, real convictions, with an open-handedness. When God shows up, we're invited to consider possibilities creatively. Like, even when God starts working with the army, it's not like, okay, here's how you're going to invade. When you get into chapter 6 of Joshua, most of you know the story, it's like, okay, here's how you're going to walk around the city and blow trumpets. Like, it's this creative, paradigm-shifting thing. It doesn't change them ultimately, but that's where God starts, even when there's an army involved. Consider creative possibilities. Engage opponents, the right word to use, enemies, with love. And consider the invitation that Joshua was invited to here, and recognize that where we are is holy ground, and be focused more on worship than fighting. It changes how we engage with each other if those things are our focus. Focus on the one who brings us together rather than the convictions, even important convictions, that drive us apart. Scott McKnight is an author, and he wrote a book describing what he sees as the vision for the church. And it's called A Fellowship of Difference, ENTS. A fellowship of people that are not the same, that have strong differences. In Galatians 3, let me just turn to it here so I can read it rightly. In describing, maybe it's not Galatians 3, Galatians 6. Someone will tell me where this is. But when Paul is writing to the church, he describes the church as a place where there's not slave or free, there's not Jew or Gentile, there's not male or female. Things that were like the biggest things of separation in that culture. The biggest taboos, the biggest, we can't be together because we are like this. Like, again, think about it. Jewish people weren't allowed to like share a cup with someone who was a Gentile. And then the church shows up and says, actually, we're family. It is three. 27. There we go. Thank you. 27. All you've been united with Christ in baptism and put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the invitation we have, to not see each other with those labels and the us versus them anymore. One of the dreams we have, and I have this dream, I think many of us have this dream, is not that we will be willing to avoid talking about the hard stuff, the stuff where we radically disagree and might even fight about, but that we would be able to talk about those things, wrestle with those things in a way that shows love, listen to each other, seek creative possibilities, but even when we can't find a way through it, that we would end the time passing around the communion element, saying, this is the body broken for you, and we are united in this. This is the blood spilled for you. And that we would be able to have those hard conversations and say, we're not on the same page. We radically disagree. But God is bigger than these radical disagreements. And so let's follow him together. Let's stay here and worship together. Let's listen to God together and continue this journey together, learning to love well, not in spite of conflict, but in the midst of it. I want us to take just a couple of minutes now and not talk about any of the hard things, the places of conflict, the places of tension, but to pray together, to spend some time metaphorically, if you want to, literally, with our sandals off, acknowledging that this is holy ground, And just praying for things that are on our heart. Praying for, if you want to, pray for places where division is high, where conflict is high, asking that we would be able to love well in the face of those things. We're going to do two things, just so you know. One, it's going to be just open floor for anyone who would like to pray. If there's a specific thing you want to pray for, go ahead. There's a lot of heavy stuff going on right now. We celebrated some things before, but Pete got a tough diagnosis, and we want to pray that that the iron pills will work. There are people who are struggling with addictions and illnesses. Thursday, we did a funeral for Kevin and Denise's son, who passed away as a result of addiction. And they are back. They're finally able to make it on holiday, and just pray that God would be doing his healing work in them. There's lots of other things. I don't have time to name them all, but we do want to open the floor, give you a chance to pray for anything that you'd like to pray for. I'm going to ask that if you would like to pray, just put your hand up. Josiah will bring you a mic so that the people online can join in the prayers. We are not going to move the camera onto you, so you don't have to worry about being seen. You don't have to say your name. Just pray so that those online can join us. And I will close our time of prayer in just a couple of minutes.
Lord, we just pray for our kids and our youth as they're being bombarded with lots of messages on media and even in schools and from their friends. Just protect them and help us to show grace and love and speak truth into their lives.
Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb that binds us together, that gives us this hope. Despite our trials, difficulties in this journey, you promise that you are with us till the end. Lord, help us to trust in you. Lord, in our difficulties, you are our strong refuge. Father, with all the conflicting ideas, difficulties, and disagreement, one thing that we have learned is at the foot of the cross. On the mount, when you sat and teach to guide our path, how to walk these difficult areas, Lord, help us to hold on to this teaching till the end. Faithful God, keep us together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Daddy God, I pray for mental health in general, and when our own mind tends to conflict with ourselves. God, I pray that you would empower us to be not only united together, but also united in ourselves, that we would be able to focus on who you are and the truth that you have said about us, as well as what you've said to that we can rely on you and that you are our rock, even in the hardest times, times when we're anxious, times when we are depressed, times when we have other things going on. God, you are the one we can lean on. And I pray that that would be just known in who we are, and that we can love everyone in this, the pain and the things that they're in at that moment, that you would teach us to still love in the midst of what people are going through and the journeys that they're on as well.
Father, I just bring the church before you, and in this season of transition from a season of such adversarial division that's happened even amongst your own people over issues of the pandemic, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see a way back, see ways to create unity again amongst your family, that we would become a unified place, that we would seek forgiveness when we've wronged others, that we would choose to forgive when we've been wronged, and that we would open our hearts up to hear other sides in peaceful, open ways that is an example to the rest of the world for how to move forward past this time. And I just pray for healing and for your light and love to shine brightly in us and help us to move forward in a way that really truly does honor you and push back the territory that the enemy has taken.
Father, thank you so much that you've given us your Holy Spirit, that we have your presence with us everywhere we go, that we have your voice with us, that we have a direct connection with you constantly. Father, I thank you for the miracles that you do and that you're going to do in our lives, in our families, in our health. Father, we just I pray that you help us grow in faith and believing and hoping for these miracles and these the way that you move despite our weaknesses. We're just very grateful for how you use us and how you love us.
Dear Lord, I thank you so much that we have a home, we have heat, we have food and shelter. When I think of the people on the other side of the world that have faced this earthquake and all the disasters that come along with it, I just so pray for them. It breaks my heart to see how so many families are losing loved ones and there's still people that have not been found. The media does play a large role in letting us know what the other side of the world's like, and sometimes we don't know for sure what's happening, but I know that there are lots of people out there suffering, and I just pray, Jesus, be near them and help them to know your presence. In Jesus' name I ask.
God, as so many in this world are facing circumstances that have them feeling like they have to fight in order to survive, I ask that you would bring comfort and hope, that you can work beyond their circumstances, that you would provide in ways that help fists or weapons or keyboards to be put down, so that we can love well. And help those of us who know you and claim to follow Jesus to be the first in line to lay those things down for the sake of unity and restoration and healing and shalom in the world. God, I pray for those who are especially just dealing with the pain of life, whether it be internal things that are bubbling up, whether it be external circumstances that are beyond their control, whether it be someone actually being aggressive towards them. God, would you help them to know that you are with them as their protector? God, thank you that everywhere we go, you are. That everywhere we go and walk is a holy place and you are there. Help us to be to just be more and more aware of your presence as we are here in this place and as we go from here throughout the world this day and this week and this month and for all the days to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing one more song before we wrap up. As you're able, if you are able, I invite you to stand while we sing. This is a prayerful song, and so if you're more comfortable sitting and just continuing a time of prayer and reflection, then you are welcome to do that as well.
Sometimes we even don't know what to pray. We just have some things on our hearts, and let this be kind of like a prayer as we, maybe there's just some things that we're like, just feeling a certain way, or there's things that are just on my mind, but somewhere back there and on my heart, and I just want to like lay it down before you, God. This is a song just for that.
God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in
have a handful of reminders that are going to fire across the screen, so I don't forget anything. Right, guys? Okay, yeah. Men's Connection and Women's Bible Study coming up this week. You can have a seat for a second. That's fine. Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 o'clock, respectively. For those, next. Women's Retreat coming up. Some women have talked to Ange. I should mention I have heard from some women that are like, I don't know about women's retreat. Sometimes they're for, like, older people, and I don't like that old people stuff kind of thing. I've heard that. And I should mention that the speaker is actually a children's pastor, so it's not catered for one demographic over another. It's all ages are welcome. The other thing I should mention is it actually starts Friday evening, so if you work during the week, you have a chance to get away after work on Friday and not miss any part of the retreat. So if that's a concern, it does start on Friday, but later. So the third thing I'd mention about that is if you're interested in going but you're not sure about the cost, we can help make sure that anybody who wants to go can go. All right, next thing. Right after this, those who are able to stay and interested in staying, we invite you to stick around. There's some treat things out there. Might even be some healthy things. But there's also coffee and tea, and we invite you to stick around. We're going to have a conversation time. Three things on the agenda. One is a brief summary of kind of how we did last year financially. One is a look at our draft budget to get your input before the board kind of puts together the final proposal for the budget. And then the third thing is we're going to just give you up to date on where we're at with the possibility of changing things for accessibility here at the church. And just like we've talked about that before, we want to give you an update on that and relook at some of the drawings we have just so you know where we're at. So those are the three things on the agenda. So that's coming up right after for those who want to and are able to stick around. Next, our annual meeting coming up first Sunday in March. All the information will be coming for that. Actually, I should mention for those online, the Coffee and Conversation meeting, we will be putting it on Zoom. The link is on our website on the event page, and there are some documents that are there that you can download. So if you want to participate and you're at home, just log into the Zoom meeting once it's open. After the annual meeting, what's next there, Joe? If you are able to give financially just to our shared costs, you can go online, click the Give button. You can give in that box at the back, or you can drop stuff in the mailbox during the week. And last thing is, if you would like someone to pray with you, Mary's here, and she'll be in the prayer room just up here. She'd be more than happy to just take some time and pray with you following the service. Let me just read for you a blessing that we often use from Numbers chapter 6. As you go, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. God bless. Don't forget your kids downstairs. Go in peace.